From KQED Public Radio, this is the California Report. Good morning, I'm Rachel Miro. Environmentalists and surfers in Southern California are celebrating today over a decision by the California Coastal Commission. Before a record-setting crowd of more than 3,500 people, commissioners yesterday rejected a proposal to build a six-lane toll road through the San Onofre State Beach. The decision was a major setback for local transit agencies that spent millions of dollars developing the toll road proposal as an alternative to the congested I-5. The art world in Los Angeles is abuzz with the impending open of a major new museum. Today, philanthropist Eli Broad is expected to give L.A.'s mayor a personal tour of the Broad Contemporary Art Museum. It'll showcase more than 200 pieces from artists like Andy Warhol, Cindy Sherman, and Jeff Koons. Registrars across the state report being overwhelmed by the volume of ballots they received on Super Tuesday. The Associated Press reports a record 15.7 million voters signed up for the primary, and more than a third of them requested absentee ballots. Officials estimate it'll take them through the end of the week to finish the count. The election was largely hitch-free, but not entirely. L.A. County's registrar says his office will review more than 94,000 ballots cast by nonpartisan voters to determine how many votes may have been disqualified. Kelly Wilkinson has more.
Ballots in L.A. County Tuesday required independent voters, or declined to state, to indicate what party they were voting for. That's along with marking the corresponding presidential candidate. A number of voters failed to make both marks, and so their votes were not counted. What seems like an arcane distinction is important because L.A. is home to more than 250,000 independent voters, so it could affect how California's delegates are awarded. A number of local officials want the discounted ballots considered. Rick Jacobs is founder of the Courage Campaign, a progressive grassroots group.
California, obviously the biggest state in the union, we can't have Florida in L.A. County. We just can't do it, and this has to be fixed.
L.A. County's acting registrar says his office will review the 9% of L.A. County ballots that were disqualified to determine if there was widespread disenfranchisement. Kim Alexander with the California Voter Foundation says the bar for evaluating elections in the state is set pretty low.
I think our expectations have changed quite a bit because we've had so many elections that were fiascos that to not have a meltdown is considered a success.
One undisputed success was Tuesday's turnout, which is expected to shatter previous records. For the California Report, I'm Kelly Wilkinson.
Super Tuesday was historic in more ways than one. Scott Schaefer explains.
For the past 15 years, political experts in California have been anticipating a surge in Latino voters, only to see the actual turnout fall short of expectations on Election Day. Well, all that changed on Tuesday, according to field poll director Mark DiCamillo.
In the Democratic primary, they were 30% of the electorate, which means they turned out in even higher proportions than other ethnic groups, including whites. So that's the first time I've ever seen that.
DiCamillo says the Latino turnout was also strong in the Republican primary, about 13% of the votes cast there. He adds that the massive turnout of Latinos was historic, an event that will likely have an impact on future elections in California. So, why did so many Latinos feel so motivated to vote? Because, DiCamillo says, presidential campaigns simply paid attention to them.
There was a considerable amount of outreach in Spanish language media, and the candidates were not just talking in generalities. They were talking about issues that Latinos really cared about, and I think Latinos responded in a big way.
Obama seemed to be making inroads with Latino voters in Nevada when he won the endorsement of the Culinary Workers Union in Las Vegas. Pilar Marrero, a veteran political reporter with the Spanish-language newspaper La Opinión, says heavy-handed union pressure on Latino members to vote for Obama may have backfired, with a spillover effect in California.
In some cases, it was too strong. They came on too strong, and I found so many Latinos that were really upset about the pressure they were getting from their union.
In the end, Latino voters flocked to Hillary Clinton, helping her rack up big margins of victory in Los Angeles, Riverside, and San Bernardino counties, along with most of the Central Valley. Barack Obama did best in the coastal counties, winning Santa Cruz, Alameda, and San Francisco, and most of the coastal counties north to the Oregon border. It didn't help Obama that the turnout of African-American voters was lower than expected. Democratic consultant Chris Lahane, who worked for President Clinton and Al Gore, says Hillary Clinton's success with Latinos and other lower or middle-income voters is partly due to her campaign's focus on issues like health care and the economy.
And I just think that those are issues, those kitchen table issues, dinner table issues, that particularly resonate with middle-class and working-class families.
Although Clinton leads Obama by 52% to 42% in California, with several hundred thousand ballots yet to be counted, they'll both pick up a big share of the delegates. That means the battle could go all the way to the Democratic convention in Denver. Consultant Chris Lahane thinks that raises the prospect of both Clinton and Obama joining together on the ticket.
There's absolutely no question that a Hillary-Barack ticket would be both historic and amazingly exciting for Democrats.
Of course, that still leaves the question of who gets top billing. For the California Report, I'm Scott Schaefer.
The Bush administration has announced changes in a farm worker visa program to make it easier for growers to hire legal foreign labor. But California farmers and farm worker advocates are skeptical about the plan. Central Valley Bureau Chief Sasha Coca reports.
The federal H-2A guest worker program has never been popular with California growers, in part because it doesn't allow workers to move from farm to farm or crop to crop. Less than 2% of the state's estimated 450,000 farm workers are hired under the program. So simply tweaking the program isn't enough to solve the state's farm labor shortage, says Barry Bedwell. He's president of the California Grape and Tree Fruit League.
At best, H-2A has been a Band-Aid. It doesn't guarantee us the certainty in terms of a longer-term labor supply. We need immigration reform that deals with the legalization of a lot of people that are here without documents.
Farmworker advocates also oppose the changes to the H-2A program. They say the new regulations will erode hard-won improvements in pay and workplace rules. Mark Schacht is with California Rural Legal Assistance Foundation.
It's to pave the way for possibly tens of thousands of guest workers to be brought in California under wage rates and working conditions that are substandard and reminiscent of the Bracero program.
The Department of Labor is seeking public comment and will finalize the rules next month. For the California Report, I'm Sasha Coca in Fresno.
That's the California Report for Thursday, February 7th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995, and the California Healthcare Foundation and Cal Hospital Compare, a new website rating hospital quality in California at calhospitalcompare.org.